You know that feeling around 6 p.m. when you're starving, panicking, and there's absolutely nothing in your fridge? I definitely do. And Home Chef is the only reason I'm eating balanced, delicious meals instead of blowing my budget on takeout. I'm definitely not organized enough to be a meal prep person. No offense. But Home Chef makes cooking so simple, with fresh ingredients and easy recipes delivered right to my door. It's perfect for chaotic schedules, because they offer over 30 options a week, ranging from 30-minute meals to oven-ready trays that require zero prep and easy cleanup. And the truth is, people really love it. Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipe ease. Plus, customers save an average of $86 a month on their groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/vanished. Again, that's homechef.com/vanished for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/vanished. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners, we've got a special gift for you this summer. For a limited time, when you sign up for a new annual Tenderfoot Plus subscription or upgrade from your existing monthly plan, you'll receive a complimentary t-shirt of your choosing from the Tenderfoot Shop. We just dropped new designs for Up and Vanished, Culpable, and To Live and Die in LA, plus new radio rental merch, all available for free with annual subscription. Head over to promo.tenderfootplus.com to claim your shirt before we run out. Offer ends July 31st. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, if you'd like to see some pictures and video from my investigation this season, head to Instagram, @PayneLindsay and @UpAndVanished.
So it's like,
you gotta
from
go
my
back.
Point of view, I mean, it's like either Paul did it or you guys did it together.
Yeah.
And so,
Catherine Goodluck, I stayed with her on the 10th. And then I stayed at Jamie V. Valenzuela's that night. That's where I was on the 10th.
If this person can vouch for T being in Seattle those days, it would at least bring a little more credence to her story.
Do you mind calling that friend of yours that you were with in Seattle?
Okay. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, T.
I have the investigator here with me, and he wants to talk to you about the night I seen you at Emerald Downs when Paul left me.
Okay.
From Tenderfoot TV in Atlanta, this is Up and Vanished. I'm your host, Payne Lindsay. Emerald Downs is a thoroughbred horse race track in Washington. This is where T claims she was visiting during the time of Ashley's disappearance. As a reminder, Ashley likely went missing on June 11th, when she was supposed to be picked up by Paul Valenzuela. T's friend is her alibi, so I called her.
Hey, how you doing, Catherine?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. My name is Payne. I'm working with Kimberly Loring, Ashley's sister, on a podcast, and we're just trying to ask as many people questions and just sort of piece together what may have happened. Really, I guess from you, I'm just curious when exactly T was in Seattle.
Do you want me to look up the date and everything, or do you have it there?
If you don't mind, yeah.
Hang on. Find a calendar.
Okay.
It was either the 10th or the 17th of June. I'd have to go back to look and see when that race was.
Emerald Down races in 2017 started on the 9th.
Okay. So it would have been the 10th of 10th of June.
The last day of Emerald Downs races.
And T stayed with you, or what?
Yeah, I had my relay team there, Umatilla Express, and it was Saturday night. We had already raced, and we were sitting. The whole team was sitting there. It wasn't just me. There was a whole bunch of people there, and we were barbecuing. I have a living quarters horse trailer, which is, you know, an RV with a horse trailer attached to it. It's all one complete unit. But she came and she sat there and ate with us, visited with us, spent the night there.
Okay, and when did she leave?
That morning.
Sunday, I can't remember if she stayed and watched this race or not, but I know she was there Sunday morning.
Because I helped her feed the horses.
She was looking for a ride. Because her husband had, it was really strange. She told me she was there with her husband. They got in a fight out there on the freeway, and he kicked her out of the car. And she said she couldn't believe how basically lucky she was that she was that close to that racetrack, and there was all of the people there. I mean, there was people from all over, tribes all over the United States racing there. But how fortunate she was to be able to be that close and be even close to people from home, too.
Right. And so, do you know where T went after that?
Not really.
Okay.
And I talked to her a few days. I think I was messaging with her probably. I think she spent a couple more days in Seattle. We didn't leave. We left Monday morning.
Okay. You said you left Monday morning?
Yes.
That's all I needed to know. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Yep.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye, Dee.
Bye.
So that Sunday morning after you left, where did you go?
I went out front. I told her that Jamie was gonna come get me, I guess, and that I'm gonna go sit out front. And that, so I sat out there for maybe about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And it was too long to walk all the way back through to the gates, because there's all these gates that go down on Emerald Downs racetrack. And I think you need money to get back in. So I was stuck out there until his sister came, and I kept calling him and asking him where she was, but I guess she's a pharmacist. So I had to wait until her lunch or something, and she came and got me, bring me to her house. Went downstairs and stayed there that whole time. You'd have to call them to ask them.
So who picked you up?
Jamie. John and Zuela.
Okay, and that's Paul's sister?
In-law, yeah.
Okay, and then so you went back to her house?
Yep.
And how long did you stay there for?
I'm thinking since till the 15th.
15th?
Yeah.
Why do you remember the 15th?
Because that's when Paul got paid. His $6,000 he gets a month, and that's the only reason why he came back is because he needed dope and he needed to pick up his kid, and let's not forget me. So.
Did you have any communication with Paul while he was in prison?
A little bit, yeah.
What'd y'all talk about?
Nothing. Like, no love, nothing. Just, when are you going to come get me? And I'll be there soon, and just nothing else.
So you think it was the 15th that he came and got you?
Yeah. No, the 14th, because he didn't have any money when he got there. And I remember him making fun of me because I was eating chicken with ranch in the morning, and he was just being a dick, like a hurtful asshole. So I don't know if I was pregnant then, but I was hungry. And I was sober, so.
T left her friend's house on Sunday morning, June 11th, the same day that Ashley went missing. And she claims she went to stay with Paul Valenzuela's sister, Jamie. I've tried reaching Jamie several times, but no luck. So I can't confirm this. According to T, Paul left for Browning on Saturday, June 10th, and he came back to Seattle on June 14th. Very strange time gap there for Paul, considering Ashley went missing during that exact window.
Whenever Paul left, there was plenty of time for him to get back to Browning.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was saying. So, I mean, he made it all the time, like, he would go there for a run and make sure he was right back when we first started dating. I started catching on to his time, so then all of a sudden it started getting longer and longer.
One thing I've had a really hard time understanding is why exactly Paul left T in Seattle that day. T's memory of this seems vivid, and she brings it up a lot, but it just doesn't really make sense.
So, what prompted this argument that for him to kick you out in the first place? I don't get why.
AutoZone?
You literally just talked to a person.
Exactly,
exactly. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense because that was out of character for Paul. I bring my boys out all the time while he was gone and he knew it and had bonfires. And we just trip out, turn off all electricity and just wait and creep out over the beds, you know.
So
he never got mad. He would show up.
AutoZone, what do you see and how does it unfold?
I see I'm pulled up by AutoZone and about two car spaces down, there is a Camaro and it's blue, almost like my green one. And there's a Cadillac gentleman and he's fixing his car with another gentleman, and I go, oh, hey, what, I'm feeling pretty good, buzzed up. I get to drink even though I'm not doing drugs. So I go, hey, what year's your, 96. I said, what year's your Camaro? And he said 96, but his had the toppers that come off. Mine didn't. And I go, mine's a 96 too. I was like, that's badass. And Paul was looking, I remember looking over and through the window, I could see Paul, his window was down and his son was in the back. His son must've been on the phone. And I remember Paul looking down like this at his receipt and the part he had. And then he was watching me like this. And then he was like, are you? And he starts yelling in front of these men. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
What's he saying?
You're fucking talking to these other guys?
How are the guys reacting to this?
They were laughing at him because it looked stupid. Like he must've been really high. You know, he was allowed to get high, but I wasn't, trying to conserve for a baby, I guess. So I'm looking at him like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh fuck, whatever. And I didn't think he was serious. Like serious, like it's gonna blow over, but it never did. Oh, but it blew over after I got home. That never was brought up ever again. You know how a guy will bring up something like, did you really like those guys? Or do you know those guys? You'll get blamed over something that you did constantly. It'll be in that person's mind, but that wasn't. I never ever heard of it. I'm the only one who talks about it. Never, he probably wouldn't even remember. I don't know. But when I talk about it, like to you, I've never.
Why would he not remember though?
Because he never talks about it. He never talks about when I'm the one. Exactly.
Right?
I am the one who.
Are you sure it wasn't something else?
No, it was. It had to have been something else. That's what I'm saying. It had to have been. That was out of character. That was not Paul. He did that for a purpose. Maybe this is the purpose why.
You think maybe it was something about
getting back home and that was Ashley maybe? He's been texting all day, so maybe it's time to go home to her, Let me get rid of this bitch real quick.
You discover something about her, him and Ashley right there?
I remember seeing earrings, but he told me, and perfume, but he always told me that they were his sisters.
Was that there at the AutoZone?
No, this was couple weeks after that, I found him in the car and his daughters weren't around, his oldest. And Lexi don't wear stuff like that. She's this little girl. So I said, whose are these? And he goes, oh, they're Rose's. When I was waiting for him to say, oh, they're Ashley's. As after, before he hit the moose, after Ashley went missing.
This doesn't really make sense to me why he would go off the handle like that in that moment.
You would have to ask
him.
Was
there something else that could have prompted it?
I'm coming off a dope, maybe? I'm a very grumpy bitch, but no.
Well, yeah, but still, like...
I didn't ask
you him. Were at a distance from him whenever he saw you talking to the guys, so it's not like you were acting all crazy there.
No, I wasn't. I was just acting like a normal person would
Which
ask...
Which is why I'm confused as to why he acted the way he did.
You're gonna have to ask him. That's all I can tell you, because when I, I didn't ever bother to bring it up, because, hey, Mr. Nice Guy's coming to get me. I want to go home.
Will he remember this?
Yeah, he better. Well, no, I don't know. Maybe.
Why would he not?
Well, then what else would he tell you why he threw me off?
have no idea.
I want to know the reaction. I want to know if I knew, and he's saying I knew, how was my response in the beginning? Well, how did I act? How did I look? What did I say? I want to know that. I want to know, because I've never heard him say how I acted, what I say, what did I do? Mm-hmm. What did I do to him? You know, I want to know that. Who else did I tell? Do you have any witnesses that seen me freak out like this over you and her? Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of stuff. I've heard that I killed her and I said, you have to kill her too. I've heard a lot of things.
You hear what?
I heard that I killed her and I made him help me kill her. Like I said, you have to shoot her too. And then I heard that I had a group of friends around down by Temed, John Jarvis, Vernon, Rose Minicky, I guess was one of them. And Cole, I think, I don't know who else, but I guess we're all standing there. Cynthia Butterfly, Dragonfly, and we're all standing there. And I said, I killed her. You guys all have to stab her once. That's what I told everybody, I guess. That's a rumor going around. And then one rumor is I caught them in bed together and I shot her. And I had made Paul help me bury her. And the other rumor is I choked her. And then I don't know what others are out there, but I know they're pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
Those are the main ones I know about. But when you hear stuff like that about yourself, it's really hard to defend yourself because of the fact that you're trying to defend yourself this where somebody already believes it. So now my new question is, so what do you think then? That's my new question. I don't sit there and try to defend myself anymore.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
T and Paul were living in a trailer together right outside of Browning, the same trailer that Kimberly said T set on fire. When Paul came back to Seattle to pick T up on June 14th, this trailer is where they went back to. But when I asked T about this, she had a very bizarre story.
So when you got there, walk me through like what happened.
I jumped out. He started bringing in his daughter and stuff, and I was standing there. I went to the backyard and felt empty. It wasn't home anymore. That was my first home I ever really had of my own since I left here when I was a little kid.
Why do you think you felt that way?
Now I think because it had something to do with Ashley. I really do. I think she's somewhere. Maybe she might be out there. I don't know. But it was smelled like something really strong and it was close. But it was like a dead smell. And then I think Paul was saying it might have been the dog that died. Our dogs died or something.
Did you bring it up?
Yeah, I said, what's that smell? And he said, I don't know. I think it's like the dogs. Our dogs are missing. They might be dead back there. But I never went back there. Never did go back there at all. There was something dead behind the house. I could smell it.
And so walk me through what you experienced.
When I got out of the car, or his Suburban, I stood on this side of the trailer and looked in my backyard for the longest time, and it was empty. That wasn't my house anymore. It wasn't. It was empty, and I started crying.
Why?
Because thinking how somebody could just leave you on the side of the road like that, and they say everything's okay right now, and I'll buy you some horses to make you okay. But it didn't feel like home anymore. Definitely something was telling me there's something wrong.
Where's that trailer now?
It's still out there, I think. Pretty sure. Last time I seen it, was out there. I lit it on fire.
When?
I think the second day of Indian Days on 2017. Just the kitchen.
Why?
Because it was my trailer.
Apparently, Paul was trying to kick T out of the trailer they were living in. So T decided to burn it.
How did you light it?
I went to Cup Inc. and I bought myself some beer And then I was filling up the gas, feeling sorry for myself. And then I looked at a water bottle. I said, ooh. So I dunked it on there on the front, and then I lit it on fire. And then it, I thought it would light if I threw a cigarette, you know, acting cool, but it didn't. It went up in flames when I lit it, and it almost cut my eyebrows. And so I was standing there while it was going up in smoke, and then I was screaming, fuck you bitches, come on, come down here, and they wouldn't. I just did the kitchen. I knew it wasn't gonna be livable after that, but I was pissed. Everybody says I burnt it because Ashley's body is in there. So they say I burnt it down though. I was like, well, why didn't they find her yet then?
Remember, T claims that Paul was having some sort of relationship with Ashley. So I asked her about it.
What was the moment that you found out that Paul was doing anything with Ashley at all?
When Kenny Berdew came to my old, our new trailer that I was staying in, well, I wasn't staying in it, and he asked me to go, you know, if I could sit down and talk with him.
Kenny Berdew is the Blackfeet police officer that T was having a sexual relationship with.
He told me, you know, when you told me that your husband had a whole different life, and I said, yeah. He said, well, it pretty much does. He's been dating Ashley for 3 months. He's been having an affair. And right then and there, it was like a whole thing just went through my head, just like everything that happened to me, fuck. I didn't care about her at all at that point. I didn't give a shit. I figured, you know, she's gonna come home. I don't know her. You know, nobody like goes missing, you know, forever. I didn't think that then, but. And I called him and was fucking accusing him, saying, where the fuck is she at? You know, what the fuck's going on? You fucking, you know, been lying to me this whole fucking time, you know. He wouldn't answer me. He would not answer me one bit.
Do you think she's alive or dead?
I don't know. I think she's dead.
So what do you think? I mean, what do you think happened? I mean, if Sam's excluded from this, which it looks like he is, for me, the next step, the logical step is to talk to Paul.
This is where we're at. Out of every person of interest I've talked to, at this point, regardless of who did what, all roads lead to Paul Valenzuela. The major problem is, how the hell do I find him? And trust me, I've been looking for months, and the guy is just a ghost. But I haven't given up yet. Just a few weeks ago, I got a random message on Facebook, a man from Browning who asked me to urgently call him.
All I know is emotionally that person was very shaken up when he told me this stuff. I don't know. They were like very scared. I don't remember the exact dates. I just remember getting a phone call. They told me that they had this girl at their house. They was going to beat her up and kill her or something. That was all I knew. She was very shaken up, asked me if I could come and pick her up. So I went to town to go pick her up, and then I get there, she's like terrified, crying, shaking, scared. I try to calm her down. She was freaking out. She said they actually killed that girl, the Ashley Loring.
They? Who the hell is they? He didn't know either. All he knew was where they lived, because he picked his friend up from that house.
I didn't know what to believe, but just her emotional state led me to believe that she was not lying. She was all freaking out, hysterical, claiming that she knows that they killed that girl, and they said they put her down into the crawl space. Logically, I'd say there's something there, but that's all I know.
Well, you know where I'm going. To that house. And I'm bringing my friend Tracy Sargent and her cadaver dog.
So there's a good chance they do not let me search this house. But hey, we're gonna try.
before.
Hey, Payne. Are you the owner of the house?
Yeah.
I'm working with Kimberly Loring, Ashley Loring's sister. Ashley went missing a few years ago.
Yeah, she's my cousin.
Is she your cousin?
Yeah.
We're here today because we have a search dog and we're just eliminating different spots that have come up in our investigation. A rumor surfaced, probably not much to it, that she could have been here.
Go ahead, search if you have to.
Do you guys have a crawl space here?
Yeah. It's helping my wife to unlock this.
Coming next week, in the final episode this season.
I just need you to be careful when you go out there, because the first thing he's going to do, he might pull a gun on you.
Why is that?
Because it's his property, he'll say, and you're not allowed to be here. That's just how he is. And if he's selling drugs, he's going to, or he's going to release his dogs on you. But he's got another pit bull, and I think he's a dumb dog, but I don't know.
So how would you suggest I approach him?
Shit, I don't know. I would drive up there exactly what you're telling me and just go there.
Do you live here?
Cool. My name is Payne. I'm a journalist from Atlanta. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
I was trying to interview this guy who lives up on the hill here.
Yeah.
Do you know much about that guy? Never seen him?
No, I just moved here.
Did you?
Yeah. I just heard that he was kind of just one of those guys around here.
What does that mean?
Watch out for, I guess.
As we round this bend, we'll be in eyesight of this guy. Yes, here. Is Paul here?
Yeah, why?
I'm a journalist.
Up and Vanish is a production of Tenderfoot TV, created, hosted, and edited by Payne Lindsay. Executive producers are Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright. Original score by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Ophelia by Ezra Rose. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Cooper Skinner. Additional production by Cooper Skinner, Eric Quintana, and myself, Mike Rooney. Our cover art is by Trevor Eiler. Special thanks to Grace Royer and Oren Rosenbaum at UTA. Ryan Nord, Jesse Nord, and Matthew Papa at the Nord Group, Station 16, Beck Media and Marketing, as well as Chris Cochran and the team at Cadence 13. Visit us on social media at Up and Vanish, or you can visit us at upandvanish.com where you can join in on our discussion board. If you're enjoying Up and Vanish, tell a friend, family member, or coworker about it, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.